Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, February 8, 2025, which corresponds to 9th of Sha'ban, 1446 AH. Sha'ban is the month that serves as a precursor to Ramadan, which is just barely 20 days away. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare our lives to witness the blessed month of Ramadan and give us the wherewithal to fast and participate in various good deeds embedded therein. The program is Everyday Muslim Show, and on this program we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, "And we have sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book, that is this Quran, in truth, confirming the scripture that came before it, and trustworthy in highness and a witness over the old scriptures. So judge among them by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and follow not their vain desires, diverging away from the truth that has come to you. To each among you we have prescribed a law and a clear way. If Allah had willed, He would have made you one nation, but that He may test you in what He has given to you. So compete in good deeds. The return of you all is to Allah, then He will inform you about that in which you used to differ." You'll find that verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Quran chapter 5, verse 48. Inshallah, as far as using the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to conduct the affairs of human beings, that's why we have what we call the Sharia. And according to Islam, that is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of mankind, who knows us even before we came to existence. He created us, He understands us even better than we understand ourselves. And for that reason, He has given us a code of conduct to guide our affairs. Today, inshallah, we shall be talking about Sharia arbitration, a threat or a necessity. Sharia arbitration, a threat or a necessity. Like you always know, like you know about this program, Everyday Muslim, we try to address issues of misconceptions and, you know, some issues that people really don't understand, in order to guide everyone, including the everyday Muslim, on their journey in Islam. And for those who are non-Muslims, who also appreciate and understand the religion of Islam, so that we can actually have peaceful coexistence in the society. So today, inshallah, you know, one of the issues that actually, you know, gained a prominence, especially in this part of, you know, Nigeria, southwestern part of Nigeria, in the last 1 month thereabout, in fact, for about 2 months now, has been the issue of Sharia arbitration in the southwest part of Nigeria. So today, inshallah, I want to take a look at Sharia arbitration, a threat or a necessity. Is there something that is threatening peaceful coexistence? Is there something that threatens the peace and, you know, security of the society? Or it is something that is actually a necessity within this part of the world? And today, inshallah, we have legal practitioners, because when we talk about Sharia, they're talking about the legal, you know, code of Islam. And we have, it's a legal matter, and we have, you know, legal practitioners to actually take us through this discussion. Today, inshallah, we're having two, you know, legal, you know, personalities, who would actually guide, our discourse. So we have in the studio with us, Barrister Fajimite Hassan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And joining us virtually, we have Barrister Tajuddin Amusa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Barrister Tajuddin.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you for joining us. For those of us probably who really don't know who are personalities are, let me just give us a brief profile about them. Starting with Barrister Tajuddin Amusa, he actually is a graduate of Usman Danfodio University that was formerly known as University of Sokoto, and he bagged a combined honors degree in Common and Islamic Laws, that is for his LLB, and he also went to the Nigerian Law School, Victoria Island, Lagos. He was called to the Nigerian Bar as a solicitor and advocate of the Supreme Court of Nigeria in 1991. He also has an LLM degree, that is his master's in maritime laws, from Lagos State University, Ojo, Lagos State. And he's also an Islamic chief. I would say someone is a title holder. He's also a title holder. He's a Somoria Dean of Lioni Central Mosque, Ojo Road at Ajigunle Apapa, Lagos, in recognition of his contributions towards propagation of Islam, within Ajigunle Apapa, Lagos, and he's happily married children. So, once again, welcome Barrister Tajuddin Amusa to the program. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having us.
All right, thank you. And for those of us that are actually meeting Barrister Fajimite Hassan, he is Barrister Hassan Taiwo Fajimite, and is a seasoned legal practitioner and human rights advocate with strong focus on constitutional law, religious freedom, and civil liberties. He has played a significant role in defending the rights of marginalized communities, particularly Muslim students facing discrimination. One of his most notable legal battles was the case involving 11 Muslim students from the international school Ibadan, where he successfully argued for the constitutional right to wear the hijab. His dedication to justice and human rights has earned him a reputation as a leading voice in public interest litigation, setting important legal precedents in Nigeria. Beyond litigation, Barrister Fajimite, is actively involved in legal discourse and policy advocacy. He participates in legal summits and public dialogues addressing faith-based arbitration, Sharia law, and alternative dispute resolution mechanisms. A strong proponent of the institutionalization of Sharia arbitration in southwestern Nigeria, he collaborates with legal and religious organizations to promote peaceful coexistence and justice. His contributions continue to shape conversations around Islamic jurisprudence, fundamental rights, and legal reforms in Nigeria. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Barrister Fajimite Hassan Taiwo again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for inviting us.
All right, so now you can understand that, the two persons that we have invited, they are actually suitably qualified to really, take us through this discourse. For those of us for those of you listening, and you should also know that this program is also streaming live on Facebook via Everyday Muslim page on Facebook. So you can log into Facebook to view the studio and also send in your comments on the live feed on Facebook. So again, Everyday Muslim is on Facebook. So later on the program, we'll open our phone lines to you for you to call in and share your thoughts. So to begin with, probably let me start with you, Barrister, Fajimite. Now that you're here with us in the studio, and for the fact that you are also an advocate of Sharia arbitration, in southwestern Nigeria. So what exactly is Sharia arbitration? And why has its introduction in the southwestern part of Nigeria ignited so much controversy? Because, you try to look at, is the opposition and the protests and some of these reactions that have greeted it, is this something that is actually rooted in legal concerns? Is it ideological resistance or probably a deeper misunderstanding of what Islamic jurisprudence is all about, sir?
Thank you very much. Sharia arbitration panel is a necessity, and I underline it, a necessity. It was brought about by virtue of the fact that the political leadership in the southwestern states, in particular, or in south generally of Nigeria, refused to establish courts known to the constitution, provided for by the constitution, that will permit Muslims who want it,
okay,
to resolve their issues or disputes according to Islamic principle, which we call Sharia,
okay,
Islamic law, which we call Sharia. An example of such issues is marriage. I know marriage is central to everybody. In our own faith, it's a work, it's a form of worship. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, it's not one of us, if that person, male or female, that refuses to marry and jettison the decision of marriage. So it's not just about copulating. It is a form of worship, and there are rules and regulations according to our faith that a marriage can go through. And when it comes to dissolution of marriage, it happens at times. The Prophet also told us that one of those things that Allah allows, but He hates, is dissolution of marriage. So if you want to dissolve marriage, it should be according to some rules and regulations. And there are implications also, aftermath. Those implications, aftermath, dissolution of it has to be done according to Sharia principle. And the dispute must be resolved by experts, those who know about it. And I'm saying this all sense of seriousness. In Christendom, marriage under the act, or what they call marriage in the registries, when there are common law, there is a marriage act, not just common law. There's a marriage act that has been there for long, that has been established for Christians who want to marry, and they go to what they call registries in various local governments and so on, Ikoyi registry and so on and so forth. They marry according to marriage act. And the government of Nigeria, over all the states of the federation since 1970, has Marriage Courses Act, which used to be Marriage Courses Decree 1970, that provides for courts that they will go, which means any court in Nigeria, and they won't go to just any court, high court, not customary court, not magistrate court, high court in Nigeria, have jurisdiction to entertain disputes relating to marriage under the act, including custody of the marriage, maintenance of property, settlement of property, and the rest of that. And those personnel that are manning it are qualified people. They call judges. Judges of the high court, not just anybody. On the other hand, they want to lump, and they have been lumping, Muslim marriages or issues relating to Muslim marriages or restriction of it with customary marriage. They call customary marriage that umbrella thing that has no definition. As far as Muslims are concerned, we are not one of those people that have undergone customary marriages. We undergone Muslim marriages. And therefore, somebody cannot just come and dissolve our marriage or resolve issues relating to it if he's not an expert in Sharia or in Islamic law. The governments of southwestern Nigeria or the governments of the entire southern Nigeria refuse to establish courts that will do so for the Muslims in the southwest in particular and southern Nigeria in general. Even since 1979 constitution, which provides for the establishment of a Sharia court of appeal in all the states that wants it. But that is where the mischief came in.
The mischief.
It's the mischief. Whereas all high courts are established in all the states in Nigeria, including FCT, by virtue of the Constitution of Nigeria. All magistrate courts are established according to the Constitution. And some states of the Federation establish customary court. They establish area courts, customary court in southern Nigeria, or area courts in northern Nigeria. The area courts in northern Nigeria have jurisdiction to entertain Sharia matters. Here in southern Nigeria, particularly in southwest Nigeria, Lagos, Ogun, Osun, Ekiti, and the rest of them do not have Sharia courts. Where we have scholars, I'm not saying clerics, scholars, people who have graduated in necessary courses in Islamic law, or what they call Sharia law. You can see that when you were introducing my brother, Tajuddin Amusa, he said he had a combined law degree, unlike me. I have just LLB, BL, from University of Ife. He has two specialities, common law and Islamic law. For example, now, if I'm now asked to come and resolve issue concerning Islamic marriage, they are doing injustice to the parties they have brought before me. And that is what the southwestern Nigerian governments have been doing over the years. Is that justice? One of the elements of justice is that competency of the adjudicators. In fact, a court will not be competent if the adjudicator lacks competency. And that's it. That's very simple.
To handle such matters.
So when you now ask Alhaji Bilkisu with her husband, Alhaji Hassan, to go to customary court at Mushi to dissolve their marriage that they contracted
under the Islamic law.
You are doing injustice to them. You are doing injustice to their children. You are doing injustice to anything connected therewith. That's the problem that the refusal, the negligence, the failure of the southwestern state governments had caused over the years, and they are still causing. And it was because of that that we now say, okay, let's at least have something for ourselves. If they refuse to go for us, what we are entitled to. Now, the Sharia Application Panel were now established by Muslim activists in Lagos State since year 2002. In Oyo State since year 2000. And there have been such courts, such arbitration panels, Sharia Application Panel, in many other states that want it. People just group themselves together and establish it. And people that are manning it, that are presiding over such panel, they are qualified persons. In fact, in experts. In Lagos State here, all of them, and I mean all of them, are lawyers according to common law. They are also legal experts according to Islamic law, Sharia. Sheikhs, you call them. Barristers, you call them. So those are the qualified people that are manning it. So what is the problem about that? That we have given to ourselves an alternative. When you refuse to give us what we are entitled to under the law, under the constitution.
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much. So let me come over to you, Barrister, Tajuddin Amusa. Like, Barrister Fajimite said that you are even, because it's you have a combined degrees, both a common and Islamic law. Now, so I'm asking because I'm trying to look at the angle of the opposition that this matter has generated, over time. That is the Nigerian legal system, the way it is structured as currently as it is, does it allow for a system where citizens, be it Muslims now, like Muslims that we have in this case, is it allow for them to set up an independent arbitration panel on personal issues that reflect either cultural or religious beliefs and views? Because I'm trying to look at either, it's like some people would say, is this not a surreptitious way of bringing in Sharia to the southwest or to the south generally? And because here, it's a metropolitan society, cosmopolitan in nature, Muslims, not Muslims, those who don't even subscribe to any religion, everybody is living in peace. Don't you think that, first, are they allowed to do such, gather themselves together, establish this? Then, why exactly is this matter now, the opposition that it has generated, why has it, come up? Especially because you even have the opposition from, there are even some Muslims who believe that this is an attempt to actually destabilize the southwest, the southwestern Nigeria by so-called northerners, especially with even the intervention of the Sultan and things like that. So, please, what can you say in this matter, Mr. Fajimite? Now, first, so why do you think this issue has generated the kind of opposition that we are having at this moment?
Thank you very much. Honestly, the opposition, I would say that I'm not surprised.
Okay.
I'm not surprised. Since 1979 Constitution was established, before we now have 1999 Constitution, and this issue of provision of Sharia has been provided for, even in 1979 Constitution.
Okay.
There have been people that get just walked up unnecessarily, and I mean unnecessarily, and the being walked up, being worried the way they did must have been actuated either by outright malice, mischief, or outright ignorance, stark ignorance on their part, because they are elites. If they are elites, they can easily consult history books, and they find that in southwestern Nigeria, over the years, centuries ago, not less than 200 years ago, there have been Muslims in southwestern Nigeria where Sharia have been practiced.
Hmm.
Sharia, call it court then. Not even panel.
Hmm.
That is, in various
communities.
Ede, Iwo, Oyolafi, Ibadan, and so on. So just to mention some, all these communities or cities that I've mentioned are Yoruba land.
Mm-hmm.
And people that were applying it at that time were Yorubas. They are not Fulanis. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they are just Yoruba Muslims.
So it's not a Fulanization agenda.
It's not a Fulanization agenda. In fact, it's an insult for anybody to say that to us, to Southwest Muslims. That is a Fulanization agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying that Muslims in Yorubas or Yoruba Muslims do not know their religion, or they don't have their religion, or they are not qualified to be good Muslims? Good Muslim will take Islam as a way of life. And one of those things...
Some might say that, why now? But we've not had this thing before now.
No. They have lost history.
Okay.
Or maybe they are young ones.
Okay.
If they are young ones, I can still excuse them to some extent.
Okay.
But even young ones, I expected Yoruba will say, Chiamode Obaba Itan.
Abaroba.
Arababa Itan. So if they are gone to libraries, they will find books which they can read, and they will find that it's not a new thing. The opposition is not new at all. Now, people say, why now? And the oppositions are in different grades or groups. There are people that are Yorubans like us.
Okay.
They call themselves Yoruba nationality activists.
Okay.
In fact, those ones that, you know, they is out of mischief.
Okay.
If they are true Yorubas, they will know
that
Islam has been Nigeria all along.
Has been part of Southwest.
And if they are true Yorubas, and perhaps they are traditionalists, they are neither Muslims nor Christians. I will sing to them one of the songs of the Ifa adherents in Yoruba land.
Okay.
That will tell them that they have always have in Yoruba land Islam as a religion.
Okay.
And they will say, Aye laba fa, Aye laba male, Oso gogon ni bagbode. That song is the song of Ifa adherents, not the songs of the Muslims that they call Imale.
Yes.
To tell you that Islam has also been there more centuries ago.
Before,
so they should know.
Yes.
So what they are doing now is outright mixchief.
Okay.
Hatred for us.
Not from Muslims themselves.
Now, for the Muslims themselves.
Who feel because I heard of one person that calls himself the chief imam of Yoruba land.
Oh my God.
Sharia in Southwest.
I think for that one, I pity him.
Okay.
I pity him. One is exhibiting ignorance and exhibiting hypocrisy. And in Islam.
I don't see that he's even an imposter because that is not titled as such.
As Yoruba land. You can't be a chief imam of Yoruba land. Nothing like that. But by whatever means, nothing like that.
Okay.
Every community has its own chief imam.
So
nothing like that.
I don't know where
at all. So maybe that is part of the problem that he has. That is from onset, he's on the path of mischief, ignorance.
This nationalism, so to say, this, that actually gave him that.
No. Please don't say that.
Okay.
They are the ones instigating him.
Okay.
If he has modicum of Islamic knowledge, nobody can push it to that.
Okay.
You are being given a poisonous pill to kill yourself, and you are taking it. You're not saying somebody give it to you.
Mm.
One, you should know the implication of that. So, for that one, honestly, I pity him because he will have to tell Allah why he got to that.
But there are some referred clerics.
There are some referred clerics. Those referred clerics, I can also not explain their situation.
Mm.
Because also, as I said, one, they should know. Because it's just elementary in Islam that if you're a Muslim, you are taking it wholeheartedly.
Yes.
You are entering to Islam wholeheartedly. That's what the Quran has said. And one of those things that you must do is that you must, like you have quoted, that verse in Surah Al-Maidah, chapter 5 of the Quran, that we must allow the laws of Allah to regulate our life. How we say regulate our life? That has always been like that. And that's why in Yoruba, even in those days, they will tell you in Yoruba land that Agbesi, Magbofin, Ota Olorun. Agbesi, Magbofin, Ota Olorun. Those who accept faith and refuse to accept
the code of conduct,
which is Sharia, they are enemies of Allah.
They are hypocrites.
They are enemies of Allah. So where do they belong? That's where they belong.
Okay.
So I can't. In fact, I pity them if they really mean it. If they are lying, whoever pushing them, if they are being pushed at all, then there are those that are Christians. Mm-hmm. For those one, maybe I can say I understand them to some extent. To some extent, I would say. If they are elites that can read and write, that have gone to universities, and they are saying this, honestly, they have no reason to say it at all. Because they can easily have access to books that they can read. They don't need to be an Islamic scholar to know a little bit of the religion of the other side.
Okay.
When we are in school, we are doing GS, general knowledge.
Yes.
Where we do a little bit of other things that other than our core specializations.
Yes.
So I expect them to know this.
In GNS, they would know.
Yes. In all that we are talking about. Mm. So it is not a new beginning. It's not a new thing. Nobody is bringing a new thing. Now, if because some of our brothers in Oyo in particular, or in Ekiti, or in Ogun, call it courts.
Okay.
You want to throw away the baby with the bath water. It's not done.
Okay.
It's not done at all. Okay. Now, in any event, who calls it?
Okay.
Who calls it?
The
governors and the state assembly members or the legislature of each of the states in the Southwest who have refused over the years to establish courts that will administer Sharia or Islamic personal law that is provided for and known by the Constitution.
Right.
You cannot just establish Sharia Court of Appeal. You must establish FIDA Court, what you call the Trial Court or First Instance Court. Other than what you call customary courts. That's what we are saying. We are going to get this a matter of time. But meanwhile, allow us to do arbitration.
Sure.
And arbitration is allowed under the Constitution.
All right. Do we have Barrister Tajuddin back? Barrister Tajuddin, are you there? Please, you need to unmute yourself for us to actually hear from you. It seems you are muted. Barrister Tajuddin, are you there? Assalamu alaikum. All right. Okay. Well, if we're able to get him, we'll get across to him. All right. So, right now, there are issues. People are saying that Muslim advocates of the Sharia arbitration panels have suggested that the opposition to this, Sharia arbitration reflects a double standard in the application of justice. Because in Nigeria, we have similar arbitration, panels. Like we have the Institute for Christian Conciliation provides faith-based alternative dispute resolution, EDR services, including biblical mediation, court-recognized Christian arbitration, and customary arbitration, all without public outcry or social resistance. So, and I know, for instance, for those of us, like some of us, while we're young, we met programs like Boromiru, Mugbejo Mide. Even in the North, they have this Berekete Radio. And in Oyo, they have this one by Mr. Oriomi Amzat, where people bring their issues
Thank you very much.
So why is an Islamic framework singled out for this scrutiny and rejection? I really don't get it.
Thank you very much. And that is why I won't blame people like Rivat, Dr. Adebayo Oshitu. When he was addressing this issue just about a week ago, he said it's a hatred for our faith that make anybody to say that we are not entitled to establish Sharia panels to treat and resolve our issues in-house. Particularly when what we are talking about Sharia courts are simply voluntary.
They are ADR mechanisms, alternative dispute resolution.
That is recognized
by law.
When I mean by law, Arbitration and Mediation Act 2023, as recent as that.
Yes.
There have been other laws that accommodate it. And even we as Muslims, we are entitled to freedom of worship under the Constitution of Section 38.
Okay.
We are also entitled to be provided for means of arbitrating our issues. I expect that the legislatures in the various states that we are talking about ought to have ceased under Section 4 of the Constitution and establish such laws for us, such courts for us, that will not in any way, infringe on the rights of the other people. And what we are doing presently has not infringed any provision of the law, has not breached one, not one, nobody, and I stand to be corrected by anybody. That's why I was surprised. I was surprised and I'm moved to the marrow that an attorney general of a state will come out and say that establishments of Sharia panels is unconstitutional. Mm. Under which constitution? Which sure. provision of the constitution? Mm. Is it entirely? They didn't mention it.
Mm.
And I'm so surprised that in this state, because we're in Ogun state anyway,
yes.
that I read it on the media that the state government said that establishment of Sharia panel is unconditional. Yes, by what means?
Hmm. Which law?
Which law? Which no. which portion of the constitution?
All right.
It cannot be.
All right.
In as much that in every, for example, there are in all the courts, and I say courts, CORS,
mm-hmm.
or palaces.
Okay.
Of kings,
mm-hmm.
of ballets,
yes.
of mongajis.
Yes.
In Europe, they resolve issues. They yes. go there weekly, fortnightly, or whatever. Eventually, daily.
Yes. When there are issues.
And when there are issues. And they settle
such
things. The upper preside, the ballet preside, the mongaji preside it. And whatever decision that they have is recognized under customary arbitration by the Supreme Court.
Mm.
You can take it there and enforce it.
Wow.
What right. is different?
Okay, all right. So, do we have Barrister Tajuddin Amusa back online, please?
Yes, I'm online now.
All right, thank you.
I've been online all the while. It has to do with some technical glitch.
Yes.
Thank you.
I apologize for the technical glitches. So, very quickly now, there are fears that these Sharia arbitration, the idea, the fears that the Sharia arbitration imposing itself on non-Muslims, this fear, is it genuine? Or is it part of the broader attempt to suppress Muslim civil rights? Because people are like, since we've been having our issues and been resolving it all this while before these Muslims came up with this idea, is it not that they are trying to force it on non-Muslims and or in this aspect of this part of the society where we have our existing courts and things like that? And they feel like, so far you've had all these courts, customary that is open to everybody, regardless of your religion. Is there a need for this Sharia arbitration panel or court, or like you Muslims are now advocating that we should even have, the Sharia court at the level of a customary level? They also have Sharia court of appeal. That is it something that is needed, or just an attempt to actually destabilize the Southwest region?
Well, thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very much, my boy in the studio there. Is our doing as thank far you. As all these issues is concerned, but Adam Fajimito.
Thank you, sir.
Well, the issue is very, very unfortunate. The Sharia panel in Lagos State have been in existence for over 22 years.
Wow.
And there has never been any foul cry or any noise making as a result of that. And matters are being treated amongst Muslims as guaranteed under the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria as amended. And 38.1, it says every person shall be entitled to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, including the freedom to propagate their religion. And when it comes to that, myself being a Muslim, as rightly pointed out by my board there, Barrister Fajimite, I have to be adjudicated upon by what I believe upon, because that is guaranteed under the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria as amended. As rightly said, several sections of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria as amended mention issue of Sharia, creation of Sharia, requests of Sharia, establishment of Sharia, court of appeal, and everything. Go to section 237, 244, 247, 260, 261, 262, and several other sections, including section 279 of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. So, what is being done is Sharia arbitration, Sharia resolution, Sharia discourse amongst Muslims. It is not compelling anybody to come before it. Once you profess that particular faith of Islamic religion, you'll be administered the necessary laws.
So it is voluntary. So it is voluntary.
Sir?
I said it is voluntary.
It is voluntary. Nobody is coerced. Nobody is compelled.
To come before
no Christian
it.
Has been dragged. Nobody from other faiths has been dragged before the Sharia panel. And
even
that
for
indicates,
Muslims, even for Muslims.
That's yes, even for Muslims. Yeah. It has to be by choice.
Okay.
So it is appalling for people of other faith, or even people who are not knowledgeable about the workings of the Sharia arbitration panel, to come and oppose it. I think we find happiness and joy in anything that has to do with Islam. First and foremost, the hijab issue went from the High Court in Lagos up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court finds favor in the wearing of hijab in schools. Ask Brother Fajimita is a forefront as far as that is concerned.
Absolutely.
Look at the issue of Sukuk.
Yes, the Islamic banking.
Yes, they still objected, they opposed, they said they want to Islamize Nigeria, and it is now a thing wherein both Muslims and every other person in Nigeria are enjoying the Sukuk funds. Look at the Jais Bank establishment. Once they say it has to do with Islam, they just go on top of the roof. And look at the issue of OIC. Has Nigeria been Islamized since we joined?
But then, sorry, probably let me also cut them some slack. Because, see, I'm trying to imagine that we have a Nigeria that is for everybody, a multi-religious society, and we have, so to say, our constitution. So why is it that it is only in the constitution that we now have Sharia, when we don't have something like that probably for Christians or for traditional worshippers or for atheists? That you have the mention of Sharia in many places in our constitution. Is Nigeria so-called an Islamic country? That's one of the things that they say. So what do you have as a defense for this? That why is it that we are trying to create or carve out something special for Muslims, you know, which is not probably applicable or available to those who do not profess the Islamic faith within our constitution? And they say that Nigeria is a secular country, although I believe that's an aberration to call Nigeria a secular country. But then they say Nigeria is a secular state, so, and that it should not you know, profess a particular state, you know, religion as region of the state. So what do you have to say about this, sir?
Well, I would like them to understand that since 1879, the Lagos Muslims submitted petitions to the colonial masters, colonial government, asking them to allow Sharia in Lagos.
Wow.
1879.
Wow.
So it's not a thing that is just recent. Like my brother Fajimita rightly said, the issue of adjudication is voluntary under the independent Sharia panel. That is what they should know. Those that don't know, let them go and study, let them go and seek for information. As far as that of Lagos that was established over 22 years ago, about 22 years ago, because it was actually established in December 2002, they have turned over a thousand judgments.
Wow.
And which are compliant with. Because every year they have more than 100 cases.
Wow.
And the 10 attorneys that are involved are seasoned. They sit at 1004, they sit at Abeson, and they also sit elsewhere when it has to do with voluntary Muslim matters.
Okay.
Inheritance, wakfu, dispute, financial dispute, amongst Muslims alone. In fact, if you profess other faiths, you can be dragged there. So we want them to go and seek for more knowledge.
Okay.
Because the common law we operate in this country is rooted under Christendom. And we have the customary court that also talks about the customary things they do in individual customs and cultures. Those educators there are not versed in Islam. They are not versed in Sharia. And that is why we are saying we Muslims, we need something to guide us, guide our affairs, and as a result, we feel free before our Creator.
Okay.
So the Constitution allows it, and I want to tell my people from other faiths not to be afraid. It will not affect them, and it's never going to be their concerns.
All right.
Okay. This has been for a long time. It's not a new thing. So Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that intervention. All right. So to our listeners out there, you can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can call 09155-917-917, 09155-917-917. And you can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. We have a caller on the line. Hello. Hello. Your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, I'm Yusuf Olamileko Adedeo. I'm calling from Alaku, Lagos.
You're welcome, sir.
Yes, I've listened to our ustaz, our imam. He has guided us much on
our legal experts.
Thank you. So, he made mention that if at all, if the Sharia is allowed, you know, not even Muslims themselves can, you know, have to be exempted from it.
Yes.
So who are the people that will now remain, those that wish to, be ruled by Sharia that will be left? Because I believe that in this hour, some people will not like to even go for it.
Okay.
You know, even among Muslims.
All right.
So that's the number two question is this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's number two question, yes. So, I think the misunderstanding of this area is that there are other benefits, you know, like other things that are associated with Sharia. So when it is in our constitution that people don't understand.
Okay.
You know, I was into Islamic banking. So it is done by one conventional bank in Nigeria, not even Muslim bank. So the Sharia, they included this in their thing.
All right.
So I opted for it then. So I was doing it. So I think you should please expatiate more on that so that people will know that it is beyond the law.
All right.
You know, of persecution and all this stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, Rabbi, would you go first that the idea that first it is voluntary. If we now say it is voluntary even for Muslims, then who are those that will eventually go there? Because that some Muslims will eventually run away. So what have you to say on that?
Thank you very much. Muslims are not running away.
Mm.
You have just heard from Brother Tajuddin Yusuf, Brother Tajuddin Amusa, a lawyer, that more than 1,000 cases
have been handled by
those panels.
Yes, in Lagos.
And at this minimum of 100 cases per year. So people are approaching the place, the panels, day in, day out. In fact, the Kurdis that are sitting there are overwhelmed.
Mm.
So it is not for lack of patronage at all. Muslims are patronizing it. Of course, people who do not understand it may opt out. They may, if they like, because we know that like Rafi Din, there is no compulsion in faith.
Okay.
But it's not because those ones that are minority, negligible minority, I would say, particularly in days of knowledge now, multitude of Muslims have understood what their faith is, and they will insist on their right.
Mm.
And since we are in days of democracy, they will also use the constitution to ensure that they have their right according to law. Mm. So those few ones, either they are misguided or they are ignorant and they don't want it, they can have their days wherever they want to. They use resolve wherever they want to resolve it.
It's not compulsory.
That even it was a Christian legal practitioner that first took a judgment of a customary court in Lagos State here on appeal to the High Court in Ikeja to say that particular customary court presided over by non-Muslim scholar, non-Sharia scholar, have no competency to sit over that case and decide matters relating to issues that border on Sharia. And the lady counsel or legal practitioner won the case before Justice Shoidi. More than 10 years ago.
Wow.
More than 10 years ago.
It was initiated by a
non-Muslim. Because he knows the law.
Yes.
He knows the law. You understand that
customary
judges they lack competency to sit and case over matters that relate to Sharia.
Mm.
And because of that, and that for that reason alone, And it's a pity that since that particular time, both the judiciary in Lagos State, the executive in Lagos State, the legislature in Lagos State have not seized the opportunity to create courts where we should be manned by people that are competent to resolve issues concerning Muslims in Lagos State. Right. So those few ones that refuse to come, we are not missing them at all.
All
right. I'm only praying that they will understand very soon so that they will not missing the benefits of this.
Right.
And the benefits of Islamic laws are banned. Mm. Thank you that the caller has referred to not only Joe Sukuk, also has referred to Islamic banking. What they are calling non-interest banking.
Islamic banking,
Islamic insurance, and many more like that. And that is the reason. Because these puts will arise in those issues.
Hmm.
Islamic banking over time. These puts will arise between the bank, between the customers, and so on. Where do they take them to? Do they take them to conventional courts where non-experts will be resolving it, and they will be dishing out injustice in the name of justice.
All right, very good. Now, Barrister Tajuddin, let me come over to you. Now, we're talking about this now, and a lot of ignorance is actually playing out here. Now, as far as we want to x-ray the role of the media, has the media played a role in framing Sharia arbitration as a threat rather than a solution? Or are we really witnessing a deliberate misrepresentation in the media which fuels fear? Or is the opposition based on objective legal concern or human rights concern? Because there are even concerns that are being raised. Are we sure that the rights of women will not be suppressed with this Sharia thing, especially this one that allows for a man to marry more than one wife and things like that? So what do you have to say as far as the role of the media is concerned in this matter?
Thank you very much, my brother. I think in journalism, they call something investigative journalism.
Yes.
Our media operators have not really done a thorough job. Once we say Sharia arbitration panel has been in existence for over 22 years, have they actually gone to this panel sitting to see how the matters are conducted? To see how fair and equitable decisions have been taken? I want to commend whosoever is involved in this. And they should go to this Sharia panel and ask for their law reports. They have published law reports.
Wow.
Several law reports codifying and stating the reasons behind several of their judgments, which were not faulted.
Wow.
And the parties involved took them by faith as the justice demands. Sharia is not something of human. It is codified in the Quran, the Hadith, Qiyas, and Ijma. So all these put together formulates the reasons, principles, ratio decidendi of whatever decisions reached by this well-qualified and well-groomed, seasoned qadis, who are also legally minded.
So is it a deliberate attempt then by the media to actually suppress any information concerning the operations of these Sharia arbitration panels?
Well, as a result of their being ignorant, they did not do their due diligence in terms of research and investigative journalism.
Okay.
Who has been so cheated? Let them go and scrutinize over 1,000 judgments delivered by these Sharia panels, both in Lagos and Oyo State. So that is it. I think they have been sponsored, and I think with this expose, they will now go and investigate properly, go to these Sharia panels, look at their books, and see that no injustice has been committed. As far as the Constitution is concerned, it is allowed. So nobody can raise objection to that, because we have issues like arbitration panels, and we have the arbitration and mediation law. Yes, we have the arbitration and mediation law 2023, which also talks about mediation, reconciliation,
yes,
arbitration on matters. So it is also part of our laws. So if this comes in form of our religiosity, wanting to be close to Almighty Allah in terms of our do's and don'ts. It has to do with civil and personal matters alone.
Mm.
The criminal aspect is not part of it because the constraint does not allow us to go into the criminal aspect.
Okay.
And that is why we advocate over personal matters, which includes marriages, inheritance, business disputes, contractual disputes, among several others.
All right. Okay.
So, can I just mention, the moderator asks about people that are they are hysterical and saying that maybe the rights of women will be denied, suppressed by Sharia arbitration panel. This is far from the truth.
Hmm.
I mean, far from the truth. Many women have approached those Sharia panels as applicants or claimants or plaintiffs by themselves.
Hmm.
And none of them have come out to come and say that they were denied rights by virtue of being a woman. No, none. Not one. Not one at all. In any event, I'm not surprised. That is how the global fear for Islam has been trending over the years.
Yes, yes.
They will tell you,
the media
hysteria. Will tell you. That's the way they want to perceive it. And to me, it's not just a question of a lack of a knowledge or being ignorant. It's also about mischief.
Deliberate mischief.
Because they have opportunity to approach those courts. They have opportunity to read more, doing investigative journalism, because they are literate. Journalists are very, very, they are men of the pen.
Okay.
Yes, even though these days they are not using pen, they are using computers. So in fact, that means they are scale up.
All right.
So they can easily Google and see it. So which woman has complained to them over the years since 2002
in Lagos
on 2000 in Oyo State that have been denied any of her rights or justice by virtue of being taken to Sharia a panel?
All right. Now we are in a race against time, and I want us to actually ask these two questions. I want us to answer very quickly. First is the fact that we know quite well that when this matter came up, we have a message from the Nigerian Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs, headed by the Sultan of Sokoto, Alhaji Saad Abubakar III, talking about the fact that he released that was a press release titled "Live and Let Live," highlighting the growing tolerance and disregard for the rights of Muslims, particularly in the southwestern region and in southern Nigeria as a whole. Now, in the light of this, so Barrister Tajuddin, how can Muslim communities engage in meaningful dialogue with non-Muslims to uphold justice, fairness, and peaceful coexistence as the fundamental principles of any legal framework?
Well, thank you very much. If Nigeria is to achieve unity and progress, it must promote understanding and coexistence rather than fear and division. We must embrace religious tolerance, recognizing that these initiatives are voluntary and beneficial, and not to allow political manipulations to tear us apart. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I love that. Because I'm seeing the hand of, like the Christians will say, I'm seeing the hand of Esau and the voice of Jacob in all of this. Now, but regardless of that now, Hassan, now looking at this, what role do the political elites, our politicians, our political leaders, what role can they play in leading a respectful dialogue between, communities of faith, and not playing into the hands of religious extremists, religious supremacists, and intolerant religious practitioners who see attack on others as a way to elevate their own religion? Because I'm seeing, something like that in this regard. So what role, what exactly do we expect the political class, to do in this regard?
Thank you very much. The political class, they are also part of the elite class. We now know that there is nobody who is an illiterate that is a political office holder in any level in Nigeria today. That means they are literate, they are educated. If they are literate and educated, they have access to either to books or people who know that they can consult, the right people that they can consult. So nobody can lead them by the nose. If they are not mischievous
themselves,
now they should not use their position as political office holders to mislead the community or to tear the community apart. They are expected to promote mutual peaceful coexistence and tolerance among various groups whether on religious basis or otherwise, or tribal basis. So I don't expect political office holders or the politicians to do this. Really, over the years, I can say that in Lagos State, for example, when politicians are coming out to come and contest the election, we'll tell them as Muslim group that one of those things that I want you to do for us is establish Sharia courts in Lagos State.
Because it is a state government that,
can establish a court. Only government can establish court, establish for us. If you establish Sharia courts for us, we won't have Sharia arbitration panel. Mm-hmm. In any event, the Sharia arbitration panel has reduced the volume of work that even the appointed judges over the level of courts are doing.
Yes.
All of us know, as lawyers that we are, we know that courts are congested.
Yes.
So create more courts. We are talking in terms of creating courts that are expert-based.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government of Nigeria has done that over the years. And mm-hmm. I give you an example of that. Before, for a very long time, there was nothing like a Nigerian Industrial Court.
Yes.
Nigerian Industrial Court is the only court that you go today that has jurisdiction over any matter involving labor matters between the employee and employers.
Yes.
Strictly for them.
Mm.
So are they, if they doing that one, are they supporting labor against government or government against labor?
No.
No. Okay. So experts are doing that. Now we have also election petitions created. Not they are not taking them to regular courts. Election petition tribunals.
Mm.
And their matters are resolved there quickly within the time frame created by the constitution.
Okay.
So what is wrong about state governments, the legislatures, establishing Sharia courts for in every state of the federation, particularly in Southwest? We need it. And we're going to get it. It's a matter of time.
All right. Thank you very much. On a final note, Barrister Tajuddin, let me ask you this. Now, with all this wave of resistance, do you think Sharia arbitration will survive in the Southwest? Or is it another battlefront in the struggle for Muslim civil liberties?
Some panel has come to stay. It has come to stay. They are only making it more popular. And people are getting more aware of it. Whosoever says it is illegal or unconstitutional should please go back to the Constitution and read what the Constitution says about freedom of religion and that Sharia could be used for Muslims.
All right. Thank you.
That is what I will say about that. They are only making the panel more popular, and definitely it has come to stay, both in Oyo, Osun, Ekiti, Ondo, Lagos, and wherever.
Ogun. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. So, on this note, we can just, this is just to tell us that you can listen again to this episode of Everyday Muslim, and other previous episodes on mpark-ng.org, mpark-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPARC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episode. We'd like to thank our guests, Barita Hassan, Fajimi Ten Taiwo, for being with us in the studio here. We also appreciate Barista Tajuddin Amusa, who also joined us virtually, and thank them for the insight that they have shared.